This is Amber Ray, and you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that upsets established power structures wherever it goes. The date is August 16th, 2006, and I'm hosting the 21st Carnival of Feminists on my blog, Being Amber Ray. And I'm happy to bring you the first ever Carnival of Feminists podcast. I talked with feminists from around the Atlanta area to get their perspectives on what feminism means to them, and I've put them all together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy. I am here with
Sarah Look from Karis Books and Karis Circle.
First of all, can you just tell us what Karis Books is and what Karis Circle is and how they're related and how they're different?
Karis Books is the Southeast's oldest feminist bookstore. This is our 32nd year. We're located in Little Five Points in Atlanta. The Karis Circle was started about 10 years ago. It's our separate nonprofit arm that handles all of the programming that had already existed at Karis Books before and has since grown. So we do programs every Thursday night, as well as once a month open mic, and then we do a high school women writers group, an adult women writers group, and a book group on exploring genders.
What other kind of things do you offer? Because I went to your website and there's just a whole long list of different things that you have available.
Mostly programs. Mm-hmm. We do special events as well sometimes, so some of that might come up. We've done different groups over different time periods. Right now we don't have any active groups going on except for the writers groups and the book group, but the programs are really at the heart of what we do. And because we are a bookstore, our space is open 5 days, I mean, 5 days, 7 days a week our space is open as a feminist space in Atlanta. As a feminist bookstore, we have a very broad view of feminism. It's a very inclusive view of feminism, so that you'll find all different kinds of books here. We celebrate independent voices. We specialize in multicultural children's books. We have a great feminist theory section, a great global concerns section, sexuality, literary fiction, lesbian romances, political books, spiritual books, all different kinds of stuff here.
And how long have you been with Karis?
I have been with Karis for 12 and a half years.
Okay.
And I'm one of the co-owners.
Okay. How do you think that the purpose or interpretation of the store as a feminist bookstore may have changed or not changed since it opened 30-plus years ago?
Well, the store actually didn't originally start as a feminist bookstore.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, when Linda and Barbara started the store, Karis is a Greek word that means grace or gift, mm-hmm. and they thought of it as a gift to the community. They were coming out of a liberal theology standpoint more. They wanted to have great kids' books, and they were feminists, but they didn't even know that feminist bookstores existed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually through the years, they heard about feminist bookstores. Barbara actually left. Other owners came in with Linda, and a lot in this neighborhood was kind of a hotbed of lesbian feminism.
Oh, okay.
So all these women started coming to the store because it was this women's run bookstore.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, along the way, Linda came into more and more to knowing about feminism and came out as a lesbian, and the store became known as a feminist bookstore and became part of that network there's a national network of feminist bookstores. I should say there used to be a formal network of feminist bookstores. About 10 years ago, there were about 120 of us. Now there are about 20.
20 in the whole country?
In the whole country. And Canada.
That's...
Yeah, it's
wow.
Pretty appalling and scary. There's one left in Florida. We're the only feminist bookstore in Georgia and have been for as long as I've ever known, actually. But there's very few left in the Southeast.
So everyone who wants to come to a feminist bookstore should definitely
come here. We're rare and a treasure, I think. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't know what a feminist bookstore would be like, and they get here mm-hmm. and they find out that we have all kinds of things that they would love.
Well, you talked a little about the store and Karis Circle being very welcoming as a feminist space. For you personally, how do you interpret feminism? What does it mean to you?
I believe that feminism is about ending oppression for all people everywhere, really. It's a pretty broad definition for me personally as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about the liberation of people also. So to me, feminism encompasses being anti-racist and anti-sexist and anti-ableist and anti-classist and all of those different forms of oppression, and that we're looking for to grow towards a world that is free from all oppression.
Hey, this is Heather from Ruby Fruit Radio at rubyfruitradio.com. And when I was asked what feminism means to me, I came up with a couple of things. The first is that feminism really has nothing to do with taking over power, but more about sharing it. I don't think women should take over the world, though it would be nice to have a bigger voice in what happens. And also, to me, feminism is not just a political statement, but it's who I am. I'm unapologetic about being a woman and about refusing to be forced into a gender-specific box. I do what I want, and I'm not going to let society tell me that I can't do something because I'm a quote-unquote girl. I am my own person, and I'm just me.
I'm here with my friend Jen in Augusta. Jen, what does feminism mean to you? She's chewing a piece of pie right now. Bad time to ask the question.
It's very interesting that you asked that, because earlier today, I was actually reading an article in a magazine, and I don't remember the context of which she was telling the story, but she was talking about, she had this boyfriend, and she was living in another state, and she decided that she was going to give up her job and move to this other state to live with her boyfriend. And she was sort of struggling over it because she had been raised to believe that you shouldn't give up your job for a man, that you shouldn't sort of just move states for a man, for a romance. But that for her, and she didn't talk about this in context of feminism, she sort of just talked about it in context of being a woman, that as being a woman that you should decide what to do is right for you and not necessarily what society tells you to do, which was interesting because usually we all think of society as telling us that we should be housewives and not as independent career women. So I agree with her in the aspect that feminism means that you should do what you want to do, but at the same time I have conflicting opinions about that. Like, I don't think, like, women that I met in college who were like, my goal is to become a housewife. Like, that's fine if you have a career and then you decide, like, I'm going to give up my career to become a housewife. But for your goal to be a housewife, I don't think that's what feminism was ever about. I think it was about doing what you want to do, except if it wants to be a housewife, which I know sounds really terrible. But to me, feminism means do what you want to do first and then do maybe that thing.
Well, I think that's what it was about to some of them. Like, I mean, I don't want to try to get all academic and then just end up talking out of my ass, but... Okay, so do you have any other thoughts? Would you label yourself a feminist?
I would.
Okay.
I would label myself a feminist, and I don't think that I have any negative feelings about labeling myself feminist, although I would maybe say that I have negative feelings about the group feminist. Like, when you think about feminists, I don't have positive feelings about that, even though I myself would call a feminist.
What do you think of when you think of,
I don't know,
that?
I think it's like society talks about the feminist, and I think of like the shaven head,
yeah, because they're
woman,
all, they're out to get society.
Like a tattoo, even though I have never met a feminist that had a shaven head and like a tattoo on her arm.
I have a tattoo on my arm, but I don't have a shaven head.
But that is what I think of when I think of feminist, that's what I think of, but I myself would call myself a feminist even though I don't have any tattoos and don't have a shaven head.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
So, yeah. I think it's from that movie, PCU. I think there was the feminist, and they all had shaven heads, and they all hated men.
Yeah.
I think is why maybe I think of that.
We blame that movie.
I blame the media on my perception of feminism.
I'm here at Aphrodite's Toy Box, and you may be familiar with Aphrodite's Toy Box from an earlier podcast interview that I did with Ray, one of the owners. In case you missed that, we'll just give Ray the opportunity to tell you a little about Aphrodite's Toy Box.
Aphrodite's Toy Box is a women's sensuality boutique here in Atlanta. It is the only one of its kind here. We provide needful things for all intimate and romantic occasions. We cater to women and their partners and their friends. So please come in and see us and enjoy what we have. We have dance classes, clothing, shoes, hose, and sizes small to 6X, books, literature, information, education, and erotica. And we have adult novelties that are very tastefully chosen, different aromatherapies, candles, parties, bachelorette parties. Come, just call. Look at our website.
Everything you could ever want.
Yeah, that's right, and more.
Well, you said that you catered to women. Would you consider yourself a feminist, and would you consider this to be a feminist space?
Yes, and yes. I would consider myself to be a feminist. And when I say that, I mean that I want to help empower women and by encouraging them and supporting them and having them do the same with me. And helping men, too, to understand that it's not against them, it's for them, it's for humanity. It is to make humanity equal, not to rise someone above or below, but make us equal, because we are, we intellectually, we are. I mean, there's still things that we're working on that society hasn't, you know, quite helped us with, but, you know, it's a lot of front runners that set the pace for things like that to happen, and that's one of the reasons that I opened this place. Like, much like Caris was open, you know, 30 years ago, which is a feminist women's bookstore, where you provide spaces for women to support each other, and for the men that they love, and the women that they love to support them as well. And you offer a safe environment for that, and you just encourage each other on all of those areas of your life, is with its a new job, you know, competing with someone that you wouldn't dare have competed with 30 years ago. And knowing that you can do whatever you want to, that nothing is stopping you now other than just some people's attitudes that haven't changed yet, basically. And that's what we're doing. We're changing. We're always changing things, always trying to make things equal for everyone.
What would you say to people who might say that things like pole dancing are exploitative to women, or the some of the products that you sell are, you know, favor a patriarchal society, or any of those kinds of attitudes? What would you say to counter that?
I would tell them to come in here and see for themselves and not make a judgment from somewhere else. Dance, any kind of dance, is wonderful, and it's empowering, and it makes you healthy and happy. And how can that be demeaning on any level? And exploitative, who's being exploited? Each individual woman comes in here to take a class to make herself feel better. It's for her. So no one's being exploited by that. And as far as, you know, other things that people may think are, you know, on the DL, they're not. You know, this is all out in the open. This is for you to come in and understand that this is right. This is good. There's nothing wrong with this.
I'm here with four lovely ladies, and we're going to have a quick little roundtable discussion about feminism. So first, let's just go around and so everybody can introduce themselves.
My name is Nikki Strickland. I'm with alindalux.com, which is my personal site, and also with North Fulton Drama Club.
I'm Janice Martin, and I'm a local Atlantan, and I'm just here to be part of the discussion today.
I'm Catherine Smith. I'm with blogfordemocracy.org, and I was here earlier, and I just decided to hang around and talk about feminism.
And I'm Dory Turner, and I'm also here just for myself.
All right, excellent. Well, I'm just going to throw this loaded question out here, two-part question, actually, and let everybody jump in with their own answer. Do you identify as a feminist, and what does it mean to you?
You want me to take it away?
Take it away.
Yeah, I definitely would say I identify as a feminist. It's kind of my experience with it, I think, feels to me like it's probably kind of weird, because I grew up as an only child in a family where my mother always worked. It never occurred to me, as you said a few months ago on your blog, I guess, that that I was not going to work. That was never anything that ever crossed my mind. And my mom, you know, handles the finances in our family and that kind of thing. I went to a school where it was a very small school, but the classes I were in that were upper level classes were more than half female all the time, even though it was a little redneck place that, you know, was other than that, not very female friendly, I would say. And then I went to college in a place that was 50% or more female as well. And it was very, there were a lot of very active feminist organizations on the campus, but it wasn't feminist as sort of reaction against people keeping you down or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of an atmosphere. But then when I got out to the corporate world and got my first job, you know, that wasn't working for my dad fixing cars, which is what he was doing, and I was
so that's very feminist,
that's
right there.
That's very feminist. I could change my own oil if I wanted to. Woo-hoo. I just don't care to. When I got out and got my first job, it was very obvious to me that, you know, it was a sausage party, and it wasn't just a sausage party in the way we joke about it being a sausage party. It was very much like they did not care about women. They sure as hell didn't care about me. And some of the things that went on at that particular office were blindingly sexist. It was so terrible in retrospect. And that really galvanized me, you know, toward a consciousness in that way. And so I think that, you know, in general, being a feminist is about that kind of thing to me, making sure that people don't have environments where they have to put up with the kind of insanity that I put up with in that situation, but also just equality in general. And that's really what feminism is about to me, is that, you know, I may not agree with the choices that a lot of people make, but they're free to make those choices, even if, you know, I feel like it damages what I believe to be, you know, our more progressive sort of reach toward things that we want. You know, I mean, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, rock on with that, you know, if you feel like that's what you want your life to be. But it's not my place to tell you you can't do that, and it's, on the flip side, not your place to tell me that I can't not have kids, you know, have a job, run a blog, run an organization, you know, whatever it is I want to do. And it really has sort of meshed into my larger beliefs about everyone being equal, homosexuals, and the whole run
across
of the gamut.
The board.
Yeah.
Well, I would definitely have to agree with Nikki. I would probably identify myself as a feminist. I just went back to grad school and graduated with an MBA, so I completely understand what Nikki is saying when she's talking about a sausage fest. And we did grapple with a lot of those issues in school. I went to a conference for the National Association of Women MBAs up in Boston, Massachusetts, and there was a lot of discussion of issues such as work-life balance and glass ceiling and equal work for equal pay. And these are all issues that women have to deal with, whether or not we want to be idealistic and think that we're empowered and we can have high corporate positions. We don't make the same as men do. And, you know, it's really something that's hard to struggle with. You know, I'm just as smart as any of the guys I went to school with, but I'm never going to make as much money as they do. Now, is that right? No. Is that fair? No. But is it something that we have to deal with? Absolutely. So you ask yourself, you know, I'm a feminist, yes. I wouldn't call myself a militant feminist. You know, I'm not out there burning my bra and doing all that kind of
thing.
That's
so 70s. Come on, ladies, it's the 21st century.
I understand the economics behind why women make less than men, but I also think that that is somewhat archaic thinking. And I think that we as feminists need to accept the fact that we are treated differently in the workplace. We need to I don't necessarily think that, you know, women who get angry about it and publicize it and go to the press and say, I don't get equal work for equal pay. You know, I mean, we have to fight smarter than that. We have to be more intelligent. We play the game, but play it better than men do. And at this conference, we met a lot of really, really successful women, and they all said the only way we get ahead is by playing the game the way they want to play it. And it's awful to me. I was sitting there listening to this really brilliant woman speak, and I was thinking how awful it is that we have to think that way, that we have to think that it's a game and we have to play it and to get ahead. And it shouldn't be like that, but it is like that. So
what do you think that we need to do instead of, you mentioned going to the press and publicizing it? What do you think we should be doing?
I think that women need to, not that we haven't already, and there are certainly plenty of women who have made a difference in the world. There are so many powerful women CEOs these days. But certainly making ourselves invaluable, becoming business leaders, becoming political leaders, becoming mothers, and, you know, being able to multitask and do a lot of other things. There's, you know, a lot of people talk about having it all. Can you work? Can you have a family at the same time? And yeah, you can, but there are certain things that you do have to make sacrifices for. You know, you won't get to spend every minute with your kids. You may miss their first step. You may, you know, but that's a choice. Nikki was talking about choices. Those are choices that you make.
Well, I think one of the other things that kind of leads into that, and not to derail here, but there's a guy that we all know who runs a blog who's basically a stay-at-home dad a lot of the year. And I think one of the things that I think would go a long way is to sort of take childcare, for example, out of the realm of being woman's work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because
definitely. It's,
you know, it's not necessarily. There are a lot of fathers who stay at home part-time with their kids. I mean, this person happens to be a professor, so he's off, you know, a certain amount of time, 3 months out of the year almost, and so he stays home with his kids. And he's a great dad, and he blogs about it all the time. And I think that's great, and I think more men in that situation, that have the opportunity to be in that situation, should go ahead and take it and kind of take that back for their wives, for their mothers, for their sisters, for their friends.
Absolutely.
Because it hurts you know, it hurts his family or anyone else's family as much as it hurts any one woman individually, because clearly if, you know, for example, and I don't want to talk about what his wife does because it would make it obvious who I'm talking about, and he doesn't know I'm talking about him, but, you know, if his wife gets paid, let's just say, $4,000 a year or less than some guy doing her same job who's got the exact same qualifications or whatever, that hurts his family. So it's not just her issue. It's not just I'm not getting equal pay for equal work. You know, my family is not getting the same support as this guy's family, and I'm doing right. the same thing. And it's everyone's issue.
Right. Okay. Well, Catherine.
This is Catherine. I would say that I definitely identify myself as a feminist. I think I'm older by a significant amount than everyone here. So I was there when people were burning their bras in the 70s. I was, like, old enough to have done it myself. I guess my problem with feminism or my issue surrounding feminism is I think we make a mistake by clumping all these things into women's issues. And I think when you talk about daycare and childcare, it's very important to recognize that it's not a women's issue. Abortion is not a women's issue. It's about okay. autonomy and privacy, and it chips away at everyone's autonomy and everyone's privacy when we start taking rights away. And it
takes two to make a baby.
Well, that's true. That's true. Absolutely, too. But absolutely. But I do question. I mean, war is a woman's issue. How many children? You know, but even children's issues are not women's issues. And I think they're family issues. They're societal issues. And I think that I just think we shortchange men by not including them in all. In our consideration of all these issues, and we shortchange women by not that we only allow them to, but they're all put in this category of, oh, those are women's issues. And I just think it's a mistake. And related to that, I worked for a long time in higher education, and I found it very unusual that whenever they had a women's commission where they wanted to talk about how our department was so great for women, they always went to all the women faculty and said, we want you to speak at this convention about all we do for women. And the women faculty would say, well, you know, I have research to do and I have work to do. If you want to talk about all we do for women, why don't you go? Men can speak for women just as easily as women can speak for women. In fact, in some cases, it's more powerful. Just it's the same with African Americans and homosexuals and everybody. If you only ask a gay person to speak about gay rights, then it's almost more powerful if a straight person is talking to straight people about gay rights, or a man is talking to men about women's issues, or, you know,
so
what we call women's
quote
issues,
unquote women's issues.
Or women's maybe women's initiatives mm-hmm. to include women in more things. I guess I'm a humanist more than a feminist.
My only argument against that would be that there are plenty of men out there who don't think it's their problem, who don't think that it's also their issue.
But see, I think that if you had men,
if men were speaking
to them about it, they might think
right.
it was their
and
issue.
And I absolutely agree with you about that. We had an incident at my institution that I just graduated from, and we're required to work on teams our first year, and there was a student who refused to work with women. He was from obviously another country. He wasn't from this country, but the administration bent over backwards to accommodate him instead of making him stick to the chosen curriculum, which was that he had to work on a team with a woman. And I was livid in the sense that they were telling him and telling everybody else that this was okay behavior. So, I mean, I'm not saying things have changed a lot throughout the years, but there are a lot of people who think that, you know, it's not their problem. Men who think it's not their problem.
Oh, I agree. I don't disagree that men think it's not their problem.
Right.
But I think it is their problem.
No, and
I think
agree
that
with you about
there's
that.
We may be able to go farther towards convincing them of that if more than just women talk about it.
Well, some men might be more willing to listen to a man to begin with and become convinced and start to actually listen and learn about the issues. So I would agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk, I mean, preaching to the choir, I guess, is kind of what's sometimes going on. We talk to one another. Clearly, we're all converted, you know.
Yeah.
And so it would be possibly, you know, where we should start with some people who aren't.
And who haven't experienced the type of sexism that obviously we all have experienced firsthand.
Well, and I think that you make a very good point about a stay-at-home father getting the short shrift because their wife makes less money. Because that's always been the argument. Well, men have to support their families and blah, 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 blah. The one thing that, I mean, we have made advances. We are, like, what was it? It used to be, like, 65 cents for the dollar on the dollar, and I think it's up to, like,
it's 75.
75. I'm, and not that that's, but it's progress. True. That's progress in my lifetime. Yeah, true. So, mm-hmm. For what it's worth.
Dory. Hi. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a feminist. I mean, but it's such a dirty word, isn't it? I mean,
and why do you think it is a dirty word?
I mean, clearly we're all sitting here with our unshaven legs and our eating granola bars.
Right.
I'm just editing that sound out.
Absolutely. And no makeup.
Well, I don't have any makeup.
Well, you're beautiful naturally, so that's why. It's a dirty word that, you know, it's developed over time. You know, I talk to guys my age, you know, in their mid-20s, and, you know, I have a friend, he took a women's studies class, and he said it was the worst experience of his life. And he said,
oh, come on.
He's like, I was...
Hyperbole much?
Well, he's given to that. But, you know, he said he was scared to death to talk, and maybe it was like the professor led the class, but I think maybe the women's movement has had some sort of a backlash. You know, we talked about getting men in on it. I think the women's movement may have done a little too much alienating over time. And maybe men need to suck it up and be big boys and deal with it.
I think that to a degree they do.
But absolutely.
That's just me.
But
some
I think
of it is propaganda.
And I think there to a degree of it is wooing. You know, we have to woo them to our whatever our issues we decide our issues are. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, if we want to be a partner in a marriage and we want to be a partner in a business, we probably need to be a partner in the women's movement as well. Mm-hmm. And we need them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, absolutely, feminism, it's made our lives as people in our 20s, or women in our 20s, it's made our lives what they are. Because, you know, we don't have the kind of issues and problems in the workplace. We still have them, but not to the degree they used to be.
I mean, we're in the workplace.
Absolutely.
To begin with, so.
Yeah.
I guess
and we're in the workplace in many more powerful ways than even 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. So, you know, what would the world be without feminism? I'd really hate to think about that.
Well, and one of the things, and you know, obviously I can't remember where I read this because it was probably months ago, but I was reading that that young women at colleges don't want to identify as feminists because they think it means something bad. You know, that's not what feminism set out to do. That's what people who don't like feminists have set out to make it into. And there's a certain kind of indoctrination that goes in around that term. And I think that more people who are perfectly normal adult human beings with jobs and families and lives and who don't, you know, who wear makeup and shave their legs and have husbands and, you know, whatever it is that we're all doing with our lives, all of us over all of our various different stripes, need to come out and say, I'm a feminist, because clearly without feminism, you know, I'm not going to bite the hand that's feeding me, and you need to wake up, because that's exactly what's going on. If you want to get out in the world and you want to have a job and you want to do something on your own, don't sit there and say, I'm not a feminist. You better be a feminist. You better be up there fighting for what it is that you want.
Well, I think...
Because no one's going to give it to you.
I mean, if you look at my mother, who is... she's in her 60s now. You know, she could... I'm 29 years old. I live by myself. I'm a single woman. I have a career. I have a life. My mother could never have done what I've done with my life. You know, and I always look back at what my life might have been had I grown up in her day and age. And I'm unbelievably thankful for all that I'm able to do.
Hello, my name is BJ. I am a gay man from the South, Atlanta here. I was pretty much raised in the South. And I do pretty much consider myself a feminist. And I think it is kind of some people don't, like, first off think of gay men as being feminists. I mean, I guess you've seen some. But I mean, I've been around a lot of gay men who are very anti-women. Just, and like I've been around some lesbians myself who are anti-men.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been that way. I mean, I grew up with pretty much a strong mother figure. Well, actually, both my parents were very strong, big personalities, but like a very strong mother figure. And her mother was actually a very strong woman herself. I mean, she was a divorced woman in like the 30s, which you know, back then that was unheard
big
of.
Taboo. Yeah.
Big taboo. My grandmother was a bar owner. She would stay up all night. She'd kick drunks out of the bar, and you know, she could drink anyone under the table. She was, you know, she was kind of a big woman. I knew her later in life, obviously. I didn't know. I've only heard stories, but you know. And my mother was pretty much a strong woman too. So I always grew up with these values. So it's like you think of a gay man, you don't automatically think of maybe a feminist. So I thought I would add my 2 cents in, my opinions in there. And I mean, I believe it. I mean, basically, I believe, I guess as a gay man, I believe in equal rights for pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see as feminism as also sort of an extension of gay rights. I mean, it's just human rights. I guess yeah. Human rights.
Well, that's the thing that sort of has surprised me about, because I've also met gay men who are very anti-woman and definitely don't identify as feminist and are, you know, try to stay as far away from that as they possibly can. But to me, they sort of go together. I mean, as someone in an oppressed group, I mean, it seems that we should all be working for equality for all oppressed people.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I think.
But along the same lines, like, you know, with my mom being such a strong woman and being a feminist, I do kind of realize some things, too. It's more of an equal, like, more of a humanist, equal rights for everyone kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess being, you know, gay man or whatever. Where my mom is a strong woman, she doesn't really like other strong women.
Hmm.
And actually, except for like my brother's current wife, actually, his wife, mm-hmm. All his previous girlfriends, she's hated. And they were kind of strong. Either she hated them because they were strong women and they were competition, mm-hmm. or she hated them because they were weak women. So for a while, I was always afraid to bring anyone around my mom. But she's loved all my boyfriends, so.
Well, none of them are strong women, so. Well, thanks for adding your perspective to the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar who would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us by emailing info@gapodcastnetwork.com or calling 678-389-9441. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.